There's a story this week that I think is going to get much bigger over the next few months, and it hasn't received proportionate attention yet. Trump Media and Technology Group launched its paid Truth API on Saturday, a subscription service that sells Wall Street firms early access to Trump's Truth Social posts. The stated price point and the specific targeting of financial institutions is the key detail here. If you're a hedge fund, and you can read a market-moving presidential statement 30 seconds before it goes public, that's not a minor information advantage.
This is where the ethics probe from Democratic senators becomes substantive rather than theatrical. Presidential statements regularly move markets. We've seen that for years. If the platform generating those statements is now charging for early access, and the president has an ownership stake in that platform, you have a direct financial interest in the mechanism by which presidential communication reaches markets. The conflict of interest structure there is fairly direct.
The antitrust and securities law angles are worth briefly unpacking here, because a lot of people conflate these different legal frameworks. What Democratic senators are likely probing is insider trading adjacent behavior, not antitrust specifically. But since we're talking about market access and platform power this week, it's worth a quick primer on how antitrust actually works. The Sherman Antitrust Act, passed in 1890, prohibits monopolization of markets and agreements that restrain trade. Crucially, and this is what people often misunderstand, having a large market share is not by itself illegal. What the law targets is using monopoly power to exclude competitors or harm consumers. The legal standard requires proving both the possession of monopoly power and the willful acquisition or maintenance of that power through exclusionary conduct. So when you hear people say, X company has too much market share, that's often not the relevant legal question. The question is whether they use that share to foreclose competition. The Truth API situation isn't really an antitrust matter. It's closer to self-dealing and securities regulation, but understanding that distinction helps parse a lot of the regulatory debates we'll hit later in this episode.
That's a useful frame. And the political backdrop to the Trump-Pirro story fits this pattern too. Trump publicly blasted Jeanine Pirro, his own hand-picked appointee, after her office concluded that damage to the Lincoln Memorial reflecting pool came from a botched contractor job rather than vandalism. Her office reached a factual conclusion that contradicted the president's preferred narrative, and he rebuked her publicly. That's worth noting, not because of the pool specifically, but because it signals that appointees who reach inconvenient factual conclusions face personal political consequences regardless of the evidence.
The anti-weaponization fund issue is connected to all of this. Trump is vowing to revive a fund that critics say is essentially a political retribution mechanism, and that's directly threatening the confirmation of Todd Blanche, his nominee for a significant Justice Department role. Even some Republican senators are apparently uncomfortable with the optics of confirming someone to a position that will be funded by a fund that looks like an instrument of political pressure.
Mitch McConnell's situation is genuinely strange, and I don't want to sensationalize it, but the facts are what they are. He was hospitalized on June 14th and has not been seen publicly since. A letter went out under his name regarding disaster relief, and his office declined to confirm whether the signature was his handwritten signature or produced by AutoPen. In an era when AutoPen has been used to sign legislation and official documents, the question of who is actually exercising senatorial authority on behalf of Kentucky voters is legitimate and not trivial.
The electoral picture for the next cycle is shifting in interesting ways. Fox News, not exactly a Democratic-leaning outlet, has polls showing Democratic candidates leading in Texas and North Carolina Senate races. If those numbers hold even partially, the path to Democratic Senate majority becomes considerably cleaner. And separately, Montana and South Dakota Democrats are refusing party pressure to stand down and let independent candidates run in their place, which reflects a genuine fracture over whether the party's best red state strategy is to run its own candidates or clear the field for independents who might have broader appeal.
The primaries in Michigan and Kansas on Tuesday are the near-term test, Over 1 million Michigan voters have already cast early ballots, which is a substantial participation number for a primary. Michigan's Democratic Senate race is particularly competitive and will tell us something about how the party's various factions, labor, progressives, moderates, are coalescing or not.
Harris's comment that the Voting Rights Act won't be revived anytime soon was notably candid for a political figure of her stature. It signals either a strategic recalibration, accepting the current Supreme Court landscape and focusing resources elsewhere, or a genuine assessment that the legislative math simply isn't there, regardless of what Democrats want.